Introduction. When Carolyn walked into the orientation session, she inwardly rolled her eyes and let out a sigh. Here we go again, she thought, as she looked out at a veritable sea of well-meaning whiteness. She was attending the orientation to learn more about an organization that described itself as committed to social justice. While the organization was overwhelmingly white, they were working hard to educate themselves on various forms of oppression. This wasn't the first time she was the only black person in the room, but Carolyn reasoned that at least these white people were committed social progressives. She joined and started attending a weekly subgroup where she was, yet again, the only person of color in the room. At the end of the sixth week, the facilitator, a white male, informed her that the next week they would be studying racism and asked her if she would teach that session. She told him she needed to think about it, and then she called me in a state of distress. Carolyn and I have been friends and colleagues for over 20 years. We met when we were both hired as facilitators of a mandated equity training for a government organization. Since that time, we have co-led countless anti-racism sessions and been through many of our own personal challenges navigating a long-term interracial friendship. Her mentorship has had a profound impact on my understanding of systemic racism. When Carolyn called me that day, she was torn. On the one hand, she wanted to give them this information because they desperately needed it. On the other hand, to be the only black person in the group and have to explain how racism manifested, both in general and in the group itself, was terrifying. She risked being subjected to the patterns of white fragility that are all too common when white people are challenged on race. Minimization, defensiveness, anger, invalidation, hurt feelings, guilt. Would she be seen as an aggressor as they positioned themselves as victimized? Would she lose valued relationships? Would this be her last session in the group? She decided that she would share her experience as a black person if I came with her and also spoke to them, specifically as a white person, about white patterns of racism. She well understood that white people are generally more receptive to hearing about racism from other white people. My presence would also ensure that she had a trusted ally at her side to support her. I agreed. As the days passed and she prepared her presentation, she called me many times to vent her fear and anxiety. The request to teach an all-white group about racism took a tremendous toll on Carolyn. In addition to the emotional work she was doing, she spent hours preparing her presentation, trying to make it indisputable so she would not be negated. Being in front of an all-white group also triggered in her a lifetime of racist abuse from white teachers, schools, and society at large. She was up against the relentless messages that as a black woman, she was unintelligent and had no knowledge of intrinsic value. Finally, the evening came. The group listened thoughtfully to both of us and then asked questions or made comments. Toward the end of the evening, a member of the group stated, in a tone somewhat critical of the organization, "I am so glad this organization is finally teaching us about racism. I have been waiting for them to do that." This statement was a fish-out-of-water moment for me in which I could see a cross-racial dynamic I hadn't seen before. I had witnessed the tremendous amount of emotional and intellectual work Carolyn had to do in order to make this presentation. Now, watching this group sitting comfortably on their chairs and effortlessly receiving the result of Carolyn's labor, I saw a metaphor for colonialism. The group was in essence saying, "We'll observe you and seek to understand you. In doing so, we'll relax while you work. You'll provide us with the fruits of your labor. We'll receive these fruits and consider them. We'll decide what to keep and what to reject, what we deem worthy of consideration and what we don't. We thank the organization for bringing you to us because we've desired your knowledge. But if you weren't brought before us, we wouldn't, as we have not up until now, expend any effort in seeking it for ourselves." Critical race scholar Shireen Razack, writing about whiteness and the pattern of studying those who are seen as different, describes this